I'm Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way. Welcome to the February 2024 This is The Way podcast Star Wars News Update. Din Djarin has lost an ally, and Star Wars has lost a good friend. Actor and director Carl Weathers passed away earlier this month in his sleep. He is famous for having an important role in the Rocky movie franchise, but also had memorable parts in Predator, Happy Gilmore, Toy Story 4, the Arrested Development television series, and of course, The Mandalorian. Early in the series, it was Weathers who was lending a little bit of his credibility to the series, not because I think he did a terrific job or he was a terrific actor, mind you, but he was the face that we could associate with the Bounty Hunting Guild on Navarro, and a little bit of his cachet from those earlier roles helped, like, really ground the series, I think, early on, especially since Din Djarin's name had not yet been widely reported, and he was hidden behind that helmet until the last episode of the first season. Yes, you know, Quill had a really a big role in helping us get into the series, but Greef Karga was really the first enemy that we faced, even more so than the client or the unseen at that point, Moff Gideon. Carl Weathers really kind of, you know, for those first three episodes, he was the main, one of the main characters alongside Din Djarin. Weathers was able to portray this redemption arc for Greef Karga, and he became important to the plot of the show, especially in the third season. He was the High Magistrate, remember? And, you know, acting wasn't all he did for The Mandalorian. He had a hand in directing episodes of the second and third seasons. His character will be missed. And now a second character is going to have to be avoided in the story since Cara Dune went missing after season one. And now Greef Karga won't be available moving forward.
Everything's going to be all right, kid.
That's not all the news for the month. It's time to update you on Star Wars news since the last news update podcast. I just mentioned Cara Dune moments ago. Gina Carano is taking Elon Musk up on an X offer for legal aid to sue Disney for wrongful termination. I don't mind taking a stand here and calling out all the social media tough guys and ladies who gleefully attacked her and mocked both her and the legal team's filing of the case. The characterization, or rather, mischaracterization of Carano as a hate-filled bigot who deserves what she got, attracted a lot of attention and commentary. I've already discussed the Disney double standard in past podcasts. I've tweeted about it, or X'd about it, but here it is. Disney can hire and fire who they want. But they did so, and they were honest about why, because she held different values and opinions, not because they just didn't want her to take part. Despite being wrong about the efficacy of mask mandates, Disney ends up firing Carano, but not Pedro Pascal, not for disobedience, but because, as the mouse put it, her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable, but not his. They both compared people to the Holocaust? Okay, look, she did not. It's the narrative, though, that they help spread. And just like everything else, they don't care what the truth is. It's just what they can repeat. I think it should cost Disney. I think it should cost them a ton. Like, a ridiculously ridiculous amount of money. Just to prove, well, it's not going to happen. But I saw people commenting on how part of her suit was to get back to work for that company. But you have to include that. That's what you have to do and how you have to file it if you want results. You can't just say, give me money. I don't think she actually expects to work for the company again. If she says she's moved on, then there are no damages to speak of. If she's moving on, there's no damages. If she can instead claim, hey, you've ruined my career, you know, in order to win the damages, she'd have to set up her career was damaged. And although it certainly was, she did work for Ben Shapiro's company. She has to show that she's willing to find remedy in the company, and that adds value to her case. Now, I used the block function on X this month to block the most vocal and anyone who insulted her or the case by continuing to mischaracterize her or ridiculing her for what they say were her comments, that's not because I love her or because I think she's a great actor. There's value to discussion with people of differing views, but those people who I'm blocking and who I really just wish would find a way to exit this planet, those are the ones that are continuing to spread lies when there are verifiable facts. They don't tend to make good conversationalists. They don't really want to talk with you. They just want to shout you down. I don't want to interact with people like that on this podcast's social network.
Very well.
Okay, moving on. The final season of The Bad Batch is underway. 3 animated episodes became available to stream on Disney Plus on February 21st, with a 4th available on the 28th of February. After the 15 episodes of this season finished streaming, I think that's supposed to be the week of May the 4th, 47 episodes will hopefully wrap up the stories of some of the more recent beloved animated characters. 47 episodes over 3 seasons. Will any of Clone Force 99 have a happy ending and be able to rest? I think we know Tech doesn't have that option, right? We do know that Rex comes back to help the Rebellion because of the Rebels. He's not really Clone Force 99, though. Well, I just want to remind you, This Is The Way podcast does not do weekly recaps for these animated shows. And we may well wait until the summer to do first and second half season reviews.
The cavalry has arrived!
Andor's second season has finished filming, according to Diego Luna's February 9th Instagram post. Can you call it filming if it's caught on digital? I don't know if they're actually using film or not. Well, anyway, filming. Stellan Skarsgård heaped praise on Tony Gilroy and says he is very satisfied with the way season 2 comes to a close, and I'm guessing that means his character as well. One other note I noticed on the show is Ben Mendelsohn was asked if he was going to reprise his role as director Orson Krennic from Rogue One, but he says he wasn't even asked to rejoin the Star Wars universe in that capacity for the Andor show. Now remember, Andor, the series, is going to wrap up, like, almost leading directly into Rogue One, so Krennic was still around. Well, I mean, I guess that makes some sense. The beginning of Rogue One, Galen Erso is captured, but that's years before Jyn and Cassian team up, because Jyn was a little girl at the beginning of the movie, and then an adult at the end. Andor was thought to be scheduled for a 2025 drop. Remember, they're doing like 3 episode arcs for a year at a time, or 4 episode arcs. I don't know if it's 4 or 3 episode arcs each a year, and it's going to lead up to Rogue One, and it was supposed to start in 2025, but now, with the early February completion of shooting, I think there's a chance it could come in at the end of this year, 2024. Remember, Tony Gilroy once said, like, hey, the big holdup is all of the special effects. And if they rush them, if they think there's value in it to rushing the special effects, they could get it done earlier. So will they or won't they? Well, it's not the next scheduled show to drop.
Let's get to it.
That next series is supposed to be The Acolyte, heading to Disney Plus this summer. Well, how do we know this? Well, Collider first reported on February 10th and then updated on February 21st that there was going to be a June 5th release date. They also said that composer Michael Abels is going to be doing the scoring. Abels is a frequent collaborator with comedian and filmmaker Jordan Peele. That guy's responsible for Get Out, Us, and Nope, all films that Abels scored. I don't know quite the, you know, connection with Leslie Headland, but maybe it's just that people liked what he did and they said, hey, come and do this for Star Wars. I don't know. He worked on 2022's Breaking, and that happened to star John Boyega in a decidedly non-Star Warsy role, so maybe somehow I don't know. That's a stretch. I think it's just that he's done some good work, and he's the cause du jour, or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, they're always trying to give minorities, more opportunities in Star Wars. And I'm fine with that. I mean, there's no problem. He hasn't done Star Wars yet, but so have a lot of people until they do Star Wars. So that may honestly be the best part of the show. And from what I hear, I think that might be the case. The show is set in the late High Republic era, and according to several reports online, it's not just going to seek to paint the Jedi as the villains against secretive Sith who just want to experiment with the dark side of the Force. That's supposedly the purpose of the show. If that's the case, and it's not a misdirect from the makers of the show, there's no way I'm going to support the show in any way, shape, or form. Like, the most I'll do is probably say the music is good from Michael Abels, but if it's good. I want my Star Wars content aspirational, and I don't wish to bring back the Carano and Pascal thing. I don't wish to view the Allies and those exterminated by Nazis as the real bad guys, because you just don't understand what Mengele was trying to learn with those World War II experiments. Go Ferrick yourself.
Think Ferrick!
Costumer Shauna Tripsick was honored posthumously for her work in Ahsoka, and I feel bad following up the previous story with someone. I liked her work. The Costume Designers Guild awarded her for work on Ahsoka, but she was also nominated for work on The Mandalorian previously as well. If you have listened to This Is The Way podcast's coverage of Ahsoka, you know we mentioned her a few times, especially in our coverage of the finale, which came after her passing, which was just after the final episode of the season aired. Tripsick will be eligible also for a posthumous Emmy in the next award cycle.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Star Wars gamers, the epic online gaming universe is welcoming all sorts of Disney-owned intellectual properties, and you guessed it, Star Wars is, of course, one of them. In a social media post, Disney announced a partnership, a $1.5 billion equity stake partnership with Epic Games. They are the creators and distributors of Fortnite and the distributor of Rocket League. StarWarsNews.net mentioned that it hasn't been approved by regulatory bodies around the world. I just cannot imagine Disney making an announcement of this magnitude without having some idea how those regulatory bodies will act. There is a YouTube video available to watch which implies a host of characters and stories are coming out of this partnership and being available across the entire Unreal Engine platform of games. It should be mentioned, that's the game engine that was used for games like Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and in the volume for shows like The Mandalorian, and even for Disney Parks rides like Smuggler's Run. But it's Epic, Fortnite. I mean, you're going to see a lot of Star Wars in gaming as a result of this, because it's one of the most popular gaming... It's not a console. I mean, Epic is on PC, but they also are on all the major game, like PS, PlayStations, Xbox, Nintendo Switch even. It's going to be big. This is a huge, huge deal.
It's a treasure for the true aficionado.
The 2D platform battle game Brawlhalla is adding two Star Wars characters. This is a free-to-play. It's kind of like Super Smash Brothers. It's a 2D platform type game. It's available on multiple platforms. The Star Wars collab is going to bring both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker to the game with an event starting on March the 20th. So, you know, get ready for your Duel of the Fates. That's a lot less important than the Epic announcement. But, you know, some people don't have Super Smash Brothers, and I don't think any Star Wars characters are in the game. So Brawlhalla might be a nice little chance for you to get to swing sabers against each other. About a week earlier, though, there's going to be another Star Wars game added to console and PC game clients. It's a classic. Thursday, March 14th is when the Star Wars Battlefront games from 2004 and 2005 are getting a re-release on Xbox, PS4, PS5, and the Nintendo Switch and PC. I think Battlefront 2 was one of the last games I got for the PS2, as a matter of fact. You're going to be able to play online, and I believe cross-platform. And this is going to be the first time those old games were available for Nintendo gamers. And there's also DLC, downloadable content, available for the games, which I'm pretty sure was not a part of my old PS2 game.
Boba Fett on the job.
Earlier this month, Insider Gaming said that Respawn Entertainment was going to be making a first-person shooter game based around a Mandalorian, a bounty hunter collecting bounties during the Empire's peak. Well, the maker of the games like Apex Legends, Titanfall, and Star Wars Jedi series reportedly had a huge bunch of layoffs. Like 670-something people were laid off at Respawn. That apparently, according to Kotaku, has made it so that it's canceled the development of that game. So there was no report about who the Mandalorian was going to be, if it was going to be based on the series or anything like that. It was going to be a linear-style game, not open world. But now there will be no game because of a huge round of layoffs at Respawn Entertainment. One more gamer note, the Nintendo eShop revealed a 1.72GB file size for a remaster of the 1995 video game Dark Forces. The cost in the US is going to be about $30. It's, again, a remaster of that old, old game. So don't expect new features in the game. Although a report by Daily Star Wars Games, who found that eShop listing, says it will include behind-the-scenes bonus content called The Vault, which is a, quote, thoughtfully curated collection of various types of development material and in-game assets showcasing the rich history of this iconic title. Go back and look on YouTube of some gameplay footage before you buy this game, all right? Even if you really loved it back then, it's dated. But Dark Forces Remaster will release on February 28th for Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4 and 5, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
The Emperor has approved your test demonstration, General Mock.
Okay, collectors, you'll have to check out the new Hot Toys collectible based on the Ariana Greenblatt portrayal of Ahsoka in the Shadow Warriors episode of the show. I'm not going to be paying $255 US for it, but I freely admit the workmanship that goes into these collector's items, or at least this one, it's phenomenal. It won't ship until next year. There's a six-month window from January to June of 2025, but trust me, go take a look for yourself. I thought Greenblatt's performance in Ahsoka was one of the highlights of the show. I wouldn't have minded more time seeing her on screen with Anakin, especially after the rest of the season. I mean, you may like it, but I didn't think it was that great. The Ahsoka Tano Padawan from Sideshow Collectibles is available in pre-order now, so it's a 27-centimeter figure, 3 pairs of interchangeable hands, 8 costume accessories, a stand, a hilt, a pair of lightsaber and motion blades, and a LED lightsaber with green blade that is USB powered, and it lights up. Again, this is $255 for one figure. And there might be a tease in the Facebook announcement for this figure, too. There may be an Anakin Skywalker Ahsoka series version coming as well. But for now, trust me, this one looks a lot like Greenblatt in her performance of the Padawan from the World Between Worlds version of Ahsoka. It's amazing. At the beginning of the month, though, there was another Sideshow collectible announcement. Now, you'd think I would be more psyched, and when you hear this came second in collectibles, you might be like, really? It's called a Han Solo Return of the Jedi Hot Toys collectible. But listen. Go look at this one as well. If we're being honest here, this does not capture Harrison Ford. It resembles him. Can you tell it's Han Solo? Of course. But along with like this large stitching on his coat and the close-up of the figure, this doesn't look as high quality as the Ahsoka one. You're just going to have to trust me. Go take a look at the Sideshow website when you go to see how much more screen accurate the young version of Ahsoka looks. Harrison Ford's Han Solo for this hot toy, it's only 30 centimeters tall out of the box. So only 3 centimeters taller. I guess that's not, you know, not nothing, but it's 3 centimeters taller than the Ahsoka, who is supposed to be like a 16-year-old girl. There's 7 interchangeable hands, 2 pairs, 3 different gesture hands, 8 accessories, including his famous pistol, and an environmental display base, which I think is supposed to recall the moon of Endor. It's just like some green plants and brown dirt. Now, look, unless you can't live without this, I recommend passing. But yes, passing on a Han Solo Hot Toys figure from Return of the Jedi. You heard it here first, all right? I'm saying pass, especially with a $290 US price tag, and it's not available until sometime in the first 6 months of 2025. It's a pass.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Hasbro has some new offerings coming, and my favorite might be the Ahsoka Show E-Wing, which comes with an Astromech port, which reminds me of my old Y-Wing toy from childhood. I don't know what that old one set my parents back, but as much as I'm fond of the E-Wing design and my old Y-Wing, a $99 price point is just too steep. It's available for pre-order now, and it comes with the Astromech KE-4N4, Lieutenant Callahan's sidekick on Lothal from the Ahsoka series. Also coming from Hasbro is a Droidables version of R5-D4, exclusive to Walmart, and there are several new additions to the Lightsaber Forge line from Hasbro, which is going to include a new Kyber Core feature, which is going to let people show off the inner Kyber Crystal in the toy. The new lightsaber designs you'll be able to mix and match with other sabers in the set are Baylan Skoll, Sabine Wren, Ahsoka Tano, the Darksaber, and Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. So yes, of course I saved the best for last. The Hasbro Vintage Collection is getting a bundle package with droid companions from the Clone Wars finale. That was a few years ago, but Ahsoka's going to come in that plastic bubble pack with three droids that helped her escape Order 66 in the show. Those are R7A7, CH33P, cheap, and RGG1. This is an Amazon exclusive 3¾-inch scale set, which is going to set you back around $70 US if you purchase. Hasbro is also expanding with a new line of toys they're calling the Epic Hero series, which will be 4-inch figures. Now, I don't know if that's 4-inch scale or 4-inch, because the very first one I checked was the Mandalorian figure retailing later this spring for $10. All of them retail for $10 on Walmart.com. The dimensions of that toy said 1.26 by 5 by 7.99 inches. None of those numbers are 4. But the listing says Star Wars Epic Hero Series, the Mandalorian action figure, and two accessories, 4-inch. So that's what you would search online, and then you could find probably all the other Epic Hero Series figures. There's also a Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, 1-inch Grogu, and this time, instead of saving the best for last, I put them right up front. Ahsoka Tano, Stormtrooper, Paz Vizsla, and Sabine Wren figures in the series, all available, $10. They're available now on the Walmart site. And my store, when I logged in, added them to my cart to just to see what the final prices would be and stuff, it says they've got them in stock. So you check the website and see if you can pick them up locally if you want them.
I will do whatever you ask.
One more collectible note for today. Because of the trailer tease of Asajj Ventress, who is going to be reappearing in an animated form sometime during the Season 3 run of The Bad Batch, her legacy lightsaber hilts are going to be available once again on DisneyStore.com on March 11th, 2024. I think her lightsabers first came available one at a time or one per purchase back in 2019. Now, if you get two of them, they can be fit together on the hilt's bottom, which makes a double-bladed version. And although they come in a nice display box, they don't come with legacy lightsaber blades this time around. I don't think back in 2019 either. You had to buy the two sabers at $130 apiece, and then each came in a separate box, but you could fit them together. Now, they did not at that time have a two-saber option. I would expect then that the one is that's coming back in the same box, the two that are coming back in the same box, are going to be around $260 US, but maybe more. Now, so on the one hand, this is a re-release. So there's renewed interest. So they think, oh, people are going to be excited to see Asajj Ventress, and people who love the Sith, they're probably going to want those lightsabers. They do look cool. I mean, they're curved blades. But everything is more expensive now compared to 2019, so it could be more than $260. On the other hand, you're buying as part of a set now. It's one set of packaging, so they don't have, they can save on packaging a little bit. Maybe these are a little bit more cheaply made. Maybe they learned some things over the years and can make them a little cheaper. If you want a review of the originals, look up Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Asajj Ventress Legacy Lightsaber review on the Sir James Gamer Fusion channel. That's where I found the information on the old lightsabers. But again, the new ones are going to be coming to the parks first on March 8th, and then the DisneyStore.com on March 11th.
Just one more thing.
Hey, in our Disney Parks news time, we got another item about Galaxy's Edge. Not lightsabers this time, but Anthony Daniels revealed at MegaCon early in February that he shot a motion capture scene to bring C-3PO into the story of Galactic Star Cruiser, which now, of course, is closed permanently. Daniels did not elaborate on what transpired in the scene or how it was going to be used, but if it was motion capture, they could repurpose it for a number of different things, right? He's already done something similar for the virtual reality game Tales from Galaxy's Edge, so if there's an update or new release to that game, or they want to use it for something else, they've already got his likeness and his voice somewhere on a digital drive. A couple months back, I mentioned how the gates to the truck that took guests from the park back to that closed Galactic Star Cruiser hotel, those were blocked off. Well, now there's signage indicating it is a Disney PhotoPass Capture Your Moment spot. Well, what's that? It is a $99 US, 20-minute private photo shoot for up to 8 guests. But listen, photos are not included. You have to pay individually or get the PhotoPass add-on. And listen, you start there, I guess, and then you're going to meet there or you meet the photographer there. And then wherever you want to take your photos in the land, that's part of your 20 minutes. So if it's in Galaxy's Edge, but you can't dress up for it because Disney doesn't allow costumes for adults, so you have to maybe book it one of those nights. You know, you can't use masks. And the photographer may have some props, but you're going to, if you book this for $99, you only get 20 minutes. And I just don't think that it's going to be that popular. You may be able to squeeze an extra minute or two, but you might not. And you're going to need to come with a plan if you want to, you want to book this photo site. And again, it's just, they're using this defunct area as they're repurposing the area. It's has nothing to do with the Star Cruiser. Although, I mean, maybe you could ask. You could be like, maybe you can ask them if you can walk over to the old hotel. I doubt it. I mean, that building is probably shut up and who knows what it's going to be used for in the future.
I think we can let them off with a warning this time.
Okay, if you think I've missed something or you disagree with me, just send me email. That's the easiest way. thisisthewaypodcast@gmail.com. I hope you caught the Star Wars Podcast Day 2024 episode from us. It was on the 7th of February. It was the 150th podcast entry for This Is The Way Podcast. And it discussed some of the motivations for me creating and continuing, even though Star Wars is becoming less and less desirable for me under Disney. I want to say a big thank you to Daniel C. of Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting for always inviting us to participate. I've uploaded an episode each of the 4 years so far, and this past one marked 25 years of Star Wars-centered podcasting. How can you interact with This Is The Way Podcast? All our links can be found in one place, linktr.ee/thisisthewaypod. Thank you so much for joining me, your host, for This Is The Way Podcast's February 2024 news update. Until next time, I'm Steve Lascalzo, and may the Force be with you always.